I invite you to turn to your pew Bible. And if you have your Bible with you this morning, turn with me. We're going to begin in the book of Ephesians, and then we're going to move back to 2 Corinthians because I want to read them in that order. And I'm going to add one to it as well that you don't have on here, and I added one more Friday when I was finishing this up, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. And we've been doing the study on the Holy Spirit. We're about maybe 4 or 5 weeks into this study. And this morning's message is causing the Holy Spirit to sorrow. And you might know what that is this morning. Most of you have probably felt that if you're walking with the Lord, but what's that look like? And I think you're going to learn some new things this morning in your faith journey. And so I'm excited about this sermon. I've never done a sermon on this. I've never heard a sermon on this either. And so I was quite surprised at things that I learned this past week about what Paul teaches us here. And so turn with your Bible, follow along with me as I read to you Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, and then 29 through 32. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then verses 29 through 32 on the end of chapter 4. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. And then turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 7, just one verse. I'll give you a minute to get there. Verse 11. See what this is? Godly sorrow has produced in you. What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves. What indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done. At every point, you've proved yourselves to be innocent in this matter. And then let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Just back a few pages right behind 2 Corinthians. You'll find the book of Galatians. And we're going to read verse 16 from chapter 5. And this segment of verses is called Life by the Spirit. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The reading of the word of the Lord this morning. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as we read your word, may you bring that word to life. Lord, I pray for those that have gathered here this morning, you fill them with your Spirit. Lord, may you produce in them just a clearness that they can understand. Lord, may you open their minds, their hearts, and their souls to receive your teaching today. And Lord, I pray too that these words are your words and never mine. I pray for the Spirit to fill me as well today as I bring your message to your people. In Jesus I pray, amen. Have you ever said the wrong thing? Anybody would admit to that today? All right, let me tell you a story. I have said the wrong thing, all right? And now I'm going to tell you a story this morning about my wife and I. So, and I forget, by the way, a good pastor always tells their wife when they're going to use them in church. And guess what? I forgot to tell her this week. So, Dory, I know you're sitting out here this morning, so I need to apologize. This is nothing new. She knows it, and some of you know this story as well, but I said the wrong thing. And she already knows what I'm going to talk about by what she sees on the screen this morning. So, Dory and I were married in the fall, November of 1998, and it was a beautiful day out. And the wedding was great. We got married, and we went on our honeymoon. And we are on day number 4 of our honeymoon, and we love to go out west. And one evening, we're driving along the south rim of the Grand Canyon. Have any of you been along the south rim of the Grand Canyon before? The road that just runs along the edge? No? You need to go. It's good. It's lovely. But get this. So we go to Arizona in November, and we run into a terrible snowstorm. And it's dark out, and we're trying to head to the west. We're looking for a town to have a motel room, and it's snowing, and my focus is on the road. And by the way, sometimes you get close to the edge of the rim, and we're on this two-lane blacktop, and I tell Dory, I look over to her, and she's sitting over here, and I say, I can't read the signs very well. Can you read them to me? I can't tell, you know, if there's a curve coming or if the town's 5 miles away or what might be going on. And she says to me, well, I can't read them either. And you can feel that the frustration in the vehicle is going up. I'm getting tense. And this is what I say to her. Never, ever do this. But I said, day four, remember, for a honeymoon, you are of no use to me. That's what I said. By the grace of God, we are still married. But it was hectic. And you get it. Have you ever said the wrong thing in life? I want you to think about that this morning. The passage that we read in Ephesians 4, Paul says this. In a nutshell, on the bottom of your screen, this is the summary of where I'm going this morning. Don't grievously hurt the one who deeply loves you. Right? Think about life. Think about those around you. And now I want you to think about the Holy Spirit in your life. We need to be sensitive to the things that bring him sorrow. And so you might ask, well, how do we bring the Holy Spirit sorrow by the things that you and I do in our lives? And you need to look at Scripture to see that. Specifically, I got a couple verses, Ephesians 4, verse 29 and 31. They speak of it greatly. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. That would have been me on the night by the Grand Canyon, right? But only things that are helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Now, last week, if you were here, let me summarize briefly what I talked about, that you and I as a believer should be constantly in fellowship with the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. We're always connecting with God through the Spirit in our lives. And we know that the Spirit of God lives in us. And here's what I want you to think about. Everything you do, every place you go, every word you speak, the Holy Spirit is there. 24/7 in your life. The Spirit hears every word. The Spirit sees everything that you see. He hears your unwholesome talk. He hears your cuss words, your degrading words. He hears when you put someone down. He watches what you watch on TV. He hears and sees what you hear on TV or radio or whatever it might be, your phone. I want you to think about something today. And I'm no different than you. And by the grace of God, by the way, I preach this message to all of us because we all fall short. And I'm thankful that Christ died for our sins because we fall into this trap so often. But how many of you, when you're sitting there watching TV and you become desensitized to the things that go on that you watch maybe on a regular basis, when somebody maybe gets killed in a murder scene, or there's some kind of a sex scene that's on television that maybe you shouldn't be watching, or the words that they might be speaking are not glorifying to God, and you hear those types of things in your life? He sees what you see. He hears what you hear. Those types of places, the words or scenes you experience that are degrading and ungodly, they cause the Holy Spirit to grieve, to have sorrow in your life. And I know every one of us does that. And there's going to be times and you don't even realize it till it's too late. So let me just say this to you. When I give you this message this morning, I don't want you to feel like, oh, I'm getting beat down. You know, I'm not doing good. No, that's not it. I want you to be aware of what's going on in your Christian walk as you live life. Because there's things you can do to become more aware and help you not to be in those places. The sin that we commit, whether public or behind closed doors, they affect very deeply the Spirit of God. And so let me ask you this morning. What do you allow into your life? What's going in as you live life? Think about those things. Young people, you're here too as well, because I know you have this little device that's just right there in the palm of your hand, and you see and hear so many things as the rest of us do. What's that look like? The Holy Spirit is deeply affected by what we allow into our lives. And may I clarify you, there's a lot of good that we bring into our lives as well. And the Spirit is joyed when we do that. But there's also a lot of bad things that we can also allow to come into our lives. And then he's deeply sorrowed by those things. And so the first part of this message, I want to address the cause of the sorrow that we might cause the Holy Spirit to grieve. What are those things that you and I might get ourselves into that we need to be more aware of in our lives? And so we start with Ephesians 4, verse 30 again. It says this: "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." Now notice Paul doesn't say grieve Jesus Christ or grieve God the Father. He says grieve the Holy Spirit when something has gone wrong. Because the Holy Spirit lives where? In you. Where's God the Father? In heaven. Where's Jesus Christ? At the right hand of God. Where's the Holy Spirit? Walks with you every day. And notice Paul says, don't let the Spirit grieve in your life. Wherever he goes, you go, he goes with you. And he's deeply affected by the things you allow into your life. And your job is to protect the treasure that you have as a believer in Jesus Christ. To hold each other accountable. To walk with each other. To encourage each other with the good things of God. So let me ask you another question this morning. Why is it so important that we don't cause the Spirit to grieve for the things that we maybe have going on in our lives? Why would that be? Why do you think that's so important as we follow Jesus that we're aware of the things we might do that cause the Spirit to grieve? And here's your answer this morning. Listen closely, because the manifestation of his presence in your life will be thwarted when you cause him to sorrow. What's another good word for thwarted? Limited, right? The Holy Spirit, when we get into situations that we shouldn't be in, or we hear things that we shouldn't hear, or you see things you shouldn't be seeing, the Spirit has a tendency to back off, per se, in your life. And as a believer, that's the last thing that we want to have happen in our lives. You will find that when you drag him into situations that grieve him, he might suddenly become quiet. And you might have this overwhelming feeling that you're in a place you shouldn't be, and you feel very, very alone, even in a crowd of people in your life. It's the best way I can describe this to you. When the Spirit is quiet, all of a sudden, you will feel very alone. If you are somewhere that causes the Holy Spirit to grieve, you'll have this overwhelming feeling that you shouldn't be there. Have you ever had that feeling when you know you've been in a place that this is not where I need to be as a Christian believer? Any of you ever had that in your life? You get into situations? I have had that. And I'm sure some of you have had that as well as you live life. There are some dark, dark places in the world that you and I shouldn't probably be in. How many of you have watched a TV show that I'm going to just call it what it is? It's just inappropriate for a Christian to watch. And then you get done watching it. How many of you feel like, oh, that was a great show, I really feel good about that? Or have you ever had it when you watch that and then you have this amazing amount of guilt that that just was not good? You ever been there in your life? Seeing stuff maybe you shouldn't be experiencing? Yes, it is. One of the things that I'm going to give you an example out of my life, a couple of them this morning, when I see this, I get my stomach starts to turn. One of them is, how many of you watch MMA fighting on television? Don't raise your hand this morning. Two guys just beating the snot out of each other. Blood's flying. They go till somebody's down, right? Yeah. When you put that on your television and you see two guys go at it, or two women even fight like that, does that honor God? What is the Spirit of God telling you when you watch that kind of stuff in your heart? It grieves Him greatly. And when the Holy Spirit is grieved, you also are filled with grief. And you know that this is not right. This is not how God called us to live in our life. And by the way, MMA, that's one example. And I can come up with a list as long as my arm of stuff that's on TV that you and I probably shouldn't be watching or be a part of. And so what you allow into your life is very concerning. And the Holy Spirit is very aware of those things. And maybe you've been there yourself. Let me just share another experience with you. I'm grateful because my wife gets to experience a lot of these things with me. A couple years ago, we were on a college visit with Quinn in Lakewood, Colorado. And many of you know that that's our second son. He goes to college there at Colorado Christian University. And so he goes in, he spends the day at the university, and he's getting acquainted with, you know, what that looks like. And Dory and I, we have a day to ourselves. And so we stayed at her cousin in Castle Rock, Colorado, and James and Holly Ventlant. James grew up here in Inwood, and so you maybe recognize that name. And we stayed at their house, and so they were off to work, and Dory and I, we had the day, and so we like to go to mountain towns and check out new stuff and see what's going on. And so one day, we went to Manitou Springs, Colorado, which is just west of Colorado Springs, about 10 miles. You can see Pike's Peak in the background in this picture here as well. We'd never been there before. We didn't know anything about this town. And we got in this town, and we're just walking through the streets, and it's got all kinds of quaint shops. And then we notice that it has these water fountains that are out on the streets and stuff like that. And there's plaques and signs by these water fountains, and it talks about the healing properties of this water. And there's nothing wrong with the water or anything like that. And it's mineral water that's actually naturally carbonated. And people would go there for healing tendencies. They'd feel better if they drank the water. And it's a very popular place in the late 1800s, early 1900s when things were going on. But we were walking through this town. And let me remind you, there's a lot of good things going on in Manitou Springs as well. There's ministries there. There's churches there. But then we had this feeling as we walked through these little shops. And we ate dinner there, just her and I. And we just, something wasn't quite right. But we couldn't figure it out. And we knew the Spirit was speaking to us that there's something just not quite right here as we look at these shops and all this kind of stuff. And so we went our way, and we went home back to James and Holly's place, and they're excited. We had dinner together and so on. And they asked us, what'd you guys do today? And we said, well, we went to Manitou Springs. And this is literally their reaction to us. Manitou Springs! We're like, oh no, now what do we get into, right? And so this is what they said to us. By the way, you need to know that town is filled with satanic worship and all kinds of witchcraft. We'd have never known. But the Spirit was speaking to her and I that this wasn't quite where we should be. And it wasn't that it was a bad place that we shouldn't be there, but it was kind of a caution to say, be aware, be aware, be aware of where you're at in your Christian walk. Those types of things go on in life. And if you're walking with the Spirit of God, I can tell you that you're going to run into a situation in this world that those things will become evident in your life, right? From the TV that sits in your living room, the places and things that you do in life and you experience. So as I write the sermon this week, I'm thinking, man, this is just a hot spot of evil, but I want to know more about it. And so I Googled it, and it's Manitou Springs Ministries Churches, and there's a lot of good churches there. There's a great ministry there that James Dobson runs. I didn't even know about that. That sits in Manitou Springs. So no matter where you find evil, you also find ministry, which is great to see those things. Now, there's nothing wrong with going to Manitou Springs, right? There's nothing wrong with going to a lot of places in life. But I think that for you and I, we need to be aware of our surroundings and maybe the things that we allow into our lives. Yes, exactly. And so I want to make you aware of those things this morning in your own life. There are dark places all over, but you can also find good there. When the Spirit was silent, when we were there, we knew something was different. That's why it's so important for you and I to be in daily fellowship with the Spirit of God. And we're cultivating that relationship. If we're not spending time with Jesus, if we're not cultivating the Spirit in our lives, you might not be aware of sometimes the situations you might find yourself in that might not be so good. Now, I know we're not perfect, and there'll be times when we cause the Spirit to grieve, and you're not going to be able to change that. But there are things you can do that I'm going to teach you about that can restore that relationship. Galatians 5, verse 16 is a verse that I want to speak to you a little bit about this morning. It says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." So you've learned about the grief of the Spirit, the things that might cause the grief of the Spirit. So then it comes to the question, what should our response be when we cause the Spirit to sorrow? As a Christian believer, what am I supposed to do, right? And our job is to sincerely ask for forgiveness. How many of you have been convicted when you've done something wrong? Anybody been there? Come on, let me see you. Yeah. When you do something wrong in your life, the Spirit convicts you that, you know, this was not the right thing. All right? Now, why is that? Not only is it, you know, I'm not talking about maybe the sin or maybe something that you shouldn't have said or should have done, but why does the Spirit convict your heart in a way that you feel guilt about something that you should have maybe not done or said or whatever? Why would that be? Besides forgiveness. And here is your answer this morning. Pay close attention to about what I'm going to speak here to you, because this is so important for you and I to know in our Christian walk. Because the Holy Spirit is jealous for your fellowship and the relation that we have with Him. He's jealous for you. He loves you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to walk close to you in your life, and He wants that relationship to be maintained at the deepest level possible. And when those things come into your life that are not good, that you allow in, that kind of diminishes that relationship a little bit, and He doesn't like that in your life. And so the Spirit causes guilt to come over you when those things go on in your life. And if you have your Bible with you this morning, turn back to 2 Corinthians with me, 7, verse 11. This explains it well. Right out of Scripture, get your Bibles out. I don't hear very many Bibles rattling back there yet. All right, I want you to get this, because you know what I'm talking about. When you live life, this is what happens to you and I. All right, let me read it to you. You listen and follow along. See what this godly sorrow has produced in you. See that so you got that guilt. You know that's something you grieve the Holy Spirit. What earnestness, what eagerness to clear yourselves is what it says. To get right before God, to restore the relationship back to the Holy Spirit, to ask Jesus for forgiveness. You have that desire in your heart to clear yourself, right? What indignation, what alarm, what longing, what concern, what readiness to see justice done in your life. That's the feeling that I'm talking about that goes on in our lives. Now, when I said to my wife, "You're of no use to me," I knew exactly when I got to speaking those words, that was not good. Right? Like, oh no, what did I just do? How many of you have been there in a relationship with your spouse? Okay, I'm so glad that most of you are in such perfect relationships out there. But God's blessing you. But you know what I had to do? Two things. Actually, three, and I'll get there. But here's the first thing that came to my mind. How am I going to restore my relationship with Dory? Because I just severed that, right? And, you know, we're on day four of our honeymoon, and we got like 6 or 7 days to go, and I got to ask for forgiveness. I have to say that I'm sorry. And I have to, and so if I want to be in a closer relationship with her, I have to love her. I have to eagerly speak words to her that are loving, not words that tear down, not words that hurt her, to restore that relationship. And I also knew that I had to ask God for forgiveness for what I had said that hurt her. Now, here's the third thing that I also had to do. And I didn't fully understand this as a young Christian, but as I lived life, I started to figure this out a little bit. I also have to restore the relationship with the Holy Spirit, because I caused the Spirit to sorrow in my life, and the Spirit became quiet. I was filled with guilt of what I had done and said to my wife. And I think that for you and I, we're no different. We do things like that maybe on a daily basis, but our job is to maintain the relationship with the Spirit, so our job is to ask for that forgiveness, rebuild that relationship with the Spirit in our lives. And let me also add this to you this morning. The Spirit is very, very quick to forgive in those situations. He wants that relationship with you and I, that closeness. And now maybe this morning you're sitting in the pew and you're thinking, well, I'm not sure what to ask for forgiveness for. I'm not sure if this is good or not, the things that are going on in my life. And here's my advice to you this morning. Get quiet with God for a little while and ask. God, what am I allowing into my life that I shouldn't be a part of, that I shouldn't be doing, that I shouldn't be hearing, that I shouldn't be seeing go on in my life? And just let God speak to you. And I guarantee you, he will. You'll feel those things that you shouldn't be a part of or active in your life. And so what attitudes, what mindsets, what behaviors do you need to get rid of in your life? Those are the things to think about this morning. You walk out of here in your Christian life. What do those look like? So let me also, I want to end this on a high note this morning. What can sadden the Spirit? We know that. But what can also gladden the Spirit of God? That's pretty important for you and I to know. What brings him joy? And so Ephesians 4, verse 1 through 3, it says this. Listen closely. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's what God calls us to. And when we live that way in our lives, those things bring joy to the Spirit of God. Worship brings joy. When you sing to God, that brings joy to the Spirit. When you read Scripture, that brings joy to the Spirit. When you're in prayer, that brings joy to the Spirit. When you're encouraging others to walk the line of God as you live out your faith, that brings joy to the Spirit. And fellowship brings joy to him. And so I encourage you to be aware of the things you allow into your life today. And I pray that the Spirit will make those things aware to you as well. And let me close with this verse. This is from the prophet Isaiah. These would be words of prophecy, okay? These are words that speak of the Spirit that's going to fall upon Jesus Christ. But I want you to know that the same Spirit that fell upon Jesus Christ is also the Spirit that falls upon you and I in our lives. And it's a pretty strong verse here to share with you this morning. Isaiah 11, verse 2, it says this, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. That's the spirit that you and I have in us. And I just want you to know that we serve a mighty God. Let's pray. Lord, we just take a moment to think of our lives. Lord, we fall short in many ways. And I know we cause the Spirit to grieve from time to time in our lives. Lord, may we be aware of those things. May you call us to repentance and forgiveness. And Lord, we also just pray to Jesus this morning, Lord, that his death on the cross made this all possible. That we can even walk this life that we call Christianity and just a follower of Jesus Christ. And Lord, may you bless this church and the people that are listening to this message today. May you make us aware of the things that go on in our daily lives. We are thankful and we come with just a deeper understanding of who you are, Lord, as you walk with us every day. Through every moment of our lives, may we be more aware of your presence. Lord, may you wash over us today with your Spirit. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.